Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I always feel awkward when I have someone's stat sheet up in front of me and they sit down. You know, if it was Wikipedia, then I think it's worse, because then I always feel as if the guest is then like, oh, this guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. The reason why I have your stat sheet up here, Zaire Franklin, 167 tackles in 2022, 179 in 2023, and 173 in 2024.
Yeah.
Do you ever miss a tackle?
Too many, according to some, but I guess I get a couple every now and then.
So the trajectory and what happened the last 3 years is when you have really taken off. How do you explain kind of the growth of you as a football player later on in your career with more opportunity?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, coming into the league, seventh round, you know, just from, you know, Syracuse and, you know, having to get it the hard way, have to earn my way on the roster, you know, learn how to be valuable to the team, you know, via special teams and, you know, leadership and other things. But I always believed who I could be. I always believed I was not only a starter, but I could be a guy in this league. So even from day one, even when I had no opportunity, I was preparing myself like I was going to be a starter, and I was, you know, training every day that like I was going to go out there and play every day, every play. So when I finally did get my opportunity, nothing much really had to change. You know, I just had to, you know, take advantage of the moment, and, you know, thankfully, being around some coaches that believe me and my guys that have my back, I've been able to have some success.
Was Dinosaur Barbecue your favorite at Syracuse?
I love me some Dino Barbecue. I actually just went back.
Big ribs.
No, I just went back because I just coached a spring game this
past year.
Yeah, shout out to Fran Brown.
Oh, I know Fran. Year. I went to Temple.
Oh, you went to Temple?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we locked in. I grew up right around North Philly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, no,
sure.
I know.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite cheesesteak? I'll get to Fran Brown in just a second.
Oh, for sure, Del Sandro's.
Okay, I know the owners.
I tried to, you said where?
I know the owners for Del
Sandro's. Oh, yeah, I did too. I brought the team there when we played the Scrimmage Eagles. What's your cheesesteak spot?
So I love Del Sandro's.
Uh-huh.
My favorite, though, is in Bala Cynwyd. Mama's cheesesteak.
Mm.
Weird Hours. Mm. It's got a four cheese blend, though.
Okay.
It's like a mystery cheese. I think it's a four
cheese
blend.
Okay, you know ball. You know ball. There's nothing else to be said. You know ball. Because I got my own little, shout out to Papa Nick's of old Islandy. Everybody got their little drink.
And then if you go down the shore, White House Subs.
Yeah.
If you go down to the Atlantic City area, White House Subs is unbelievable. And then
Ishka Bibbles. I love Ishka
Bibbles. Oh, Ishka Bibbles.
I love Ishka
Bibbles. Deion Dawkins actually took me to Ishka Bibbles the first time.
Yeah, Ishka Bibbles is a bop, bro. Yeah.
And then Bradley Cooper, right, just opened up a cheesesteak spot in New York City.
He's out here, right?
Yeah, I'm pissed. I'm so annoyed.
Is he done?
No, because that cheesesteak truck, they opened up the shop in New York City. It's 3 hours to wait. It's basically Angelo's.
They're in cahoots with
Angelo's. Mm-hmm. And they have the truck here, and I'm sitting here, and I'm starving. And they have the truck, and there's like seven people in line.
Yeah, but let me say this. Do you want to come to New Orleans to get a cheesesteak?
No,
steak,
I don't.
Yeah, that's the only
thing.
That's the only thing. I don't know if that now. I mean, don't get me wrong. Shout out to Bradley Cooper. I tried to go to Angelo's. I was just in the city 2 weeks ago before the Pro Bowl. And I tried to go to Angelo's, but I don't know why I waited till Sunday. Or until Saturday, and it was the day before they played the Commanders. The city was on fire. I pulled up. My wife told me to go at 11. I was being lazy. We pulled up 1 o'clock. The line is down the street. I mean, it's Eagles fans with carry-on luggage straight from the airport. Just Angelo. So I've never actually had Angelo's, but I've heard Angelo's is really good, too. Though, so.
The thing, though, is, like, come
the
on.
Bread.
Hold on. Yes, the bread. You're Zaire Franklin, though.
Oh, yeah, but
like to play that game.
Yeah, yeah,
but when it comes to food, you use that as your advantage.
Now, I hope my wife doesn't hear that, because she gets mad that I don't throw my name around so much. Every time I call a restaurant and we don't got a time, she's like, did you tell them who you are? I'm like, oh, my God.
I know you don't like to do that, but for food, you got to kind of do it.
Yeah,
you're in a certain level right now.
Let me see how far my name get me in New Orleans.
You know, if it was Zaire Franklin in 2019, I don't know if it works, but Zaire Franklin in 2025, you can get a spot at Angelo's, right? They'll take a picture of you.
Yeah, you might be right.
Eat some cheesesteaks. It'll work. You know what?
You might be right.
I may walk up there and say, I'm Zaire Franklin.
Hey, look, and
see
look,
if they believe it.
And I'll co-sign it. Just call me. I'll let them know.
All right, so Fran Brown, what were your impressions of him?
Man, Fran just real, bro. You know, I had met Fran back when he was at Temple back then, too. Temple was my first BCS offer. Now, back then, BCS. Ain't no such thing as BCS now. But
just called NIL now.
Yeah, facts. But, so I knew that Temple staff really well with Matt Rhule back then. Shout out to Matt Rhule. But, yeah, Fran's been real ever since I met him. Every guy I ever knew who played with him, played for him, from Temple to Baylor, always sung his praises. Obviously, that was pretty much my most time I really had a chance to spend around him and obviously the program. They had some good guys come out this year too, man. Very successful. I was really happy I had a chance to, you know, just spend some time with that Syracuse team. They were special this year.
Yeah, Fran used to call me. He would call me at, like, the most ridiculous hour.
Yeah, that's what Fran is.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, you know that one day I'm going to be a head coach.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest. And I don't know how he felt about this. Early on in Fran's career, I thought he was just going to be a position coach or he was going to be a coordinator.
Yeah.
The growth that he really went through when he was at Georgia, that's when I think the vision was really there, learning from Kirby Smart, where it's, okay, I'm really good at what I do. I'm an awesome recruiter. I had the personality. Now I think he learned how to be and get groomed to be a head coach from Kirby.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear, too. I feel like you can see that, though. And I think, you know, shout out to Kirby and Nick Saban and a lot of those guys who do a good job of building that coaching tree. I think it's no secret to, you know, what that SEC coaching tree really does. They do a good job of putting their assistants in positions to succeed and teaching them how to grow and be better moving forward. So,
Zaire Franklin here with us. How do you kind of look back at the whole Anthony Richardson thing that happened that this year with the bench and then eventually him getting back on the field?
I mean, I'm just one of them type of people that just – I see opportunity in every, you know, setback or a possible negativity. Oh, my God, that's blue. Blue is crazy.
Oh, the mascot.
Yeah.
See, the funniest thing about him is the mascot blue when there's, like, a missed kick.
Yeah, he's crazy.
or they make a kick.
Yeah.
He's going nuts with the goalposts.
Yeah, blue is
nuts.
Crazy. What I would say about Anthony is, man, I just see opportunity, you know. So obviously he had, you know, some situations that he had to go through, he had to learn from. But, you know, what I tell him and what I tell all the young guys when they go through bad situations or, you know, tough times, bro, it's just making your story better, bro. The farther you fall or, you know, the most adversity that you go through, that's going to make your greatness stronger. That's going to give you resolve. And how you respond is going to be a great story for when you're a vet or you're looking back and talking to a younger dude and talking them through their adversity. Because the reality situation is just the trial that you're going through at this time, but that doesn't mean it's going to end. Once you succeed and you push through that, you're going to face another opportunity to grow. You're going to face another setback that you're going to have to work through, whether that's winning in the playoffs or, you know, trying to, you know, achieve MVP status, whatever that is. There's always going to be another ceiling to break through. So just use this as an opportunity to continue to grow and show the world who you really are.
What's Shane Steichen like as a head coach?
Oh, man, Shane Sharp, man. I love playing for Shane. He's one of my favorite coaches that I've had. He's all ball. He loves the game, man. He loves the game. Shane was right here. You ain't gonna get him talking to him about Anthony, but if you get him in here and you get to talking about RPOs and how to beat cover four and trap two, and you get him talking about that, he'll sit and talk to you about it for hours. I mean, Shane loves the game, and I love that about him. He understands the guys. He's a competitor. He's super competitive. I think he's the guy, you know, that's going to help lead us to the promised land.
You look at two situations this year, Lamar Jackson with Derrick Henry.
Right.
And then also Jalen Hurts with Saquon Barkley. Yep. You guys have a great running back.
For sure.
And Jonathan Taylor.
Indeed.
What can you envision that offense being if Anthony's at his best and you still have some prime years left, obviously, of JT?
Man, I mean, it's been beautiful in the glimpses that we've gotten. You know, the Tennessee game, JT runs for 200, Anthony runs for 890. You know, how do you stop that? You know, as a defensive player, when you got a running back that's as dynamic with the vision, the quickness, the burst, the footwork of JT, you have to be very gap conscious. You have to be very, you know, mindful of where he is and where his leakage could possibly come from. But then when you pair that with a running back who can pull it and also really might take it 70 yards, I mean, that's a tough thing to stop. So
I think it's as tough as ever now to play defense because there's so many rules that goes against you guys. Mm-hmm. I have no clue how to hit the quarterback or hit anyone anymore. And now you have these bigger quarterbacks that are mobile, and you have no clue if they're going to throw it, if they're going to hand it off, or if they're going to take it themselves and run downfield as well. How do you kind of get into the position that you're in right now, where all you do is make tackles left and right in an era where it's so hard to just tackle people?
I would say the reality of the situation is most of these schemes or systems, they're constantly reading you. So they're trying to put people in lose-lose situations. Okay, this guy pulls here, then the quarterback pulls it, but there's also, you know, receiver outlet. So they're just trying to give, you know, multiple fail safes to try to help, you know, attack defenses and put us in tough situations. My mindset, and obviously it's the mindset of Coach Lou, having a chance to sit and talk some ball with him before I came out here, is to dictate to the offense what you want them to do. So, for example, before you play Lamar Jackson, you would be like, look, whoever the running back is, let him run. You know what I mean? Now you got Derrick Henry, so I don't know if that's actually how you approach that situation. But, you know, just kind of make sure you play with their reads, you know, switch up, you know, what you're going to do. Try to make the quarterback uncomfortable, because the moment that he hesitates, that's when you win.
Luana, I know you just touched on it a little bit, but I think that's someone that should have still been in Cincinnati, if I'm just being honest. The Jesse Bates going from Cincinnati to Atlanta really changed that defense, but geez, man, you guys got a pretty damn good defensive coordinator coming in.
That's what everyone is saying. You know, Lou's reputation and the respect that he has in the league speaks for itself. I mean, just being at the Pro Bowl last week, you know, all the guys that, you know, played with him in Cincinnati or, you know, competed against him, talked about how special of a coordinator he was. So I'm just thankful that we have that mind from him, thankful that I have an opportunity to learn underneath him and continue to grow my game and develop it in ways that I haven't had the opportunity to do before.
Using your football cap, and you're rooting for the Eagles, right?
It's Philly, man. I ain't got no choice. It's crazy because
– how do you break this game down then?
I mean, I think it's Saquon versus the front seven. I think that's where the game is. If the Eagles can control the clock, but at the same time, you know, Patrick Mahomes, man, you know, he's just been in this situation before. I just feel like when you're facing a generational talent like that, that's playing for something bigger. Like he's not. Yeah, he's playing for the game, but he's chasing legacy. He's not chasing, you know, the Eagles obviously chasing their first Super Bowl win, and obviously it would be great to have that for the city and for the organization, but Kansas City is chasing something different, man. They're trying to stamp something in history, and, you know, sometimes that's a force that's hard to be reckoned with.
So the last thing I'll ask you, Zaire Franklin, how do you – because the Colts are actually the only team that has never lost to Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Out of all the teams in the league.
Well, we did lose to him in 2018 in the playoffs.
With Andrew Luck. Sorry. Check that.
Yeah.
I said that wrong. Long week.
Nah, you all right.
He is never defeated in the regular season, the Indianapolis Colts, out of all teams in the league.
Yep.
How do you beat him?
You know, obviously, with Josh Allen was beating him in the regular season, and that didn't matter. So let me just start by saying that you got to beat him when it counts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think, you know, we do a good job of competing, you know, and coming out there and giving them, like I said, giving them different looks, giving them different game plans. You know, we've been, you know, had a couple of good defensive performances against them. I know we go to Kansas City next year, so that's going to be fun. I love playing in Kansas City, even though the locker room sucks, but the game environment is awesome. When we played them in 18, when we had Andrew Luck, that was my rookie year. They was throwing snowballs at us. I always love when fans like hate the other team. If I go to another stadium and the fans don't hate me, I feel like y'all not real fans.
Wait, were you throwing snowballs as an Eagle fan as a kid at opposing teams?
Oh, for sure. If I could, I would have definitely snowballed any of the Giants. I would have definitely. That's a part of it. If you don't hate the other team, then how are you really a fan?
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the time. Good luck. All right.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man.
There he is, Zaire Franklin, joining us on the show. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, and the Zach Gelb Show on Super Bowl Radio Row is sponsored by Tide Pods. Turn to cold water washing with the Tide Pods. When you switch from hot to cold, you could save up to $150 a year on your energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great in cold.